Today's episode is brought to you by CBDMD. The holidays are finally behind us, which means it's time to catch up on some much-needed sleep. And even though getting a good night's sleep is much easier said than done, our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to sleep harder than NBA media is sleeping on Patrick Williams. P-Dub, CBD PM blends 500 milligrams of high-quality CBD with melatonin, valerian root, chamomile, and other sleep-promoting ingredients to create a powerful and effective sleep aid. And if you want to relax a little bit before bed, there are new CBD bath salts fuse superior CBD with Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bath into a luxurious experience, and are available in lavender or eucalyptus scents, as well as soothing nighttime blend with melatonin and calming herbs. And to make it even easier to get you started off right, they're offering all of our listeners 20% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Happy Wednesday to you, Matt. Welcome back to the show. Best part of the week in which we get to do mailbag. But before we do that, how are you, man? And I know we got some injury updates to go over for this Bulls team ahead of Friday's game, but how are you?
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, some injury updates, some good news, some bad news on that front. But I got to say, man, I'm just feeling all kinds of positive vibes today. I know we got listeners from all over the world, but big day here in the United States, Inauguration Day, the 46th president sworn in. And I've just been having like vibes that are very reminiscent of the day when Gar and Pax were removed from power, the day when Jim Boylan was relieved of his head coaching duties, and we just got some new, fresh, competent people coming in and seizing control of this organization. It's just, I don't know why. I'm just having all kinds of reminiscent vibes about that kind of shit today.
You said you had a falling out with Doug Collins. How would you characterize your relationship with him?
Really good. Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that report came to be.
That's one of my favorites.
That was such a great pull right there, Jordan. Oh my God.
I'm with you, man. Going to Bulls news. Let's touch on some of these injuries, man, because we haven't seen Chandler Hutchison play in what, like 2 weeks? And we haven't seen Thomas Adoransky play in about, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks? Patrick Williams was added to the report as well, but all indications are go for Hutchison and Satoransky for Friday, no?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. We got reports this morning that both of them were full go at practice. We got some other updates as far as, it sounded like Hutch had a pretty rough go with his COVID experience. And he was quarantined in D.C. for a while, which is where he found out he was positive after the Bulls played the Wizards. And he said, it was felt like a tough flu. He had fever. He had chills. He had loss of appetite. But he said that he's now feeling good and fully recovered physically. And all of his various tests, blood tests, heart tests came back clear. And we also got updates that Sato, while also testing positive, had far milder symptoms and almost no symptoms whatsoever. And he also confirmed, thankfully, that none of his family members tested positive after being around him. So good news on both of those fronts, not only just for, you know, the health and safety of those Bulls players and now their teammates who they can join back with, but looking forward to seeing those guys back in the rotation. We can touch on the availability or lack thereof of a couple of guys like P-Dub and Wendell, who just got added to the injury report also. So Donovan has potentially some more rotation, you know, juggling to do, starting with their next game Friday against the Hornets. But we saw positive signs from Hutch and from Sato before they were forced to leave the team and quarantine with their positive tests. So looking forward to seeing if they can kind of keep that strong momentum going as two quality guys coming off the bench for Billy Donovan.
Yeah, and I mean, if Patrick Williams has to miss a game or two, it's not the end of the world. You'd rather be safe than sorry. And with the way Garrett Temple's been playing, man, I mean, we won't skip a beat. Hutchison could fill a little bit of that role, but I mean, Garrett Temple's been playing really, really well. So why not just let the vet continue to play while you get you guys rested and back to 100% health? As far as Wendell goes, he seems like he's going to be, it seems like it's, they said it was only a bruised thigh. So I would imagine if all indications are he's just a little sore, he would go Friday. Hopefully it's nothing worse than that. But like you had mentioned, the Bulls got the Charlotte Hornets on Friday. They got the Lakers at home on Saturday, and then they're playing their third game in four nights on Monday night against Boston. So a couple of tough, difficult challenges for the Bulls. I'm hoping by next week this team will be all together fully. If all indications stay positive, everybody stays quarantined, and they can get through some of these tests, because I don't even think, has this team even been together for a full game yet? Like the entire roster completely?
I mean, I don't think so. Because who was unavailable at the onset? Well, Temple was still quarantining, right, when the season started.
Correct, and I don't think Denzel wasn't available either. I think Denzel, he was dealing with an injury,
right?
So yeah, I think
at certain points throughout the season, at least one, if not two or three, pieces of this rotation, or at least the full 50-man roster, have not been available. So if P-Dub's hip contusion, turns out to not be too serious and he's available on Friday, and the bruised thigh of Wendell that you mentioned is also not too serious, then this Friday game against Charlotte could be the first time that Donovan has everybody, you know, available. And then it'll be really interesting to see, when all pieces are available, what that rotation looks like.
Yeah, and Billy Donovan's going to have to do a lot of shifting around and a lot of experimenting too, because it'll be the first time he gets the opportunity to see all of these guys. But it just kind of seems like he's been going with the hot hand lately, and it's nice. It's actually nice to see that. Like, I'm not aggravated at the end of the game where the Bulls are within six or five or holding on to a lead. They actually are going out there and closing with their veterans, as opposed to having Shaq Harrison play the three at the end of the game and trying to close it out that way. So it's so much nicer to see that. Shout out to Shaq Harrison in Utah, by the way.
Shaq! Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. You know that I've always kind of been maybe not like on Sato Island per se, but an advocate of what he can bring to this Bulls team. A year ago, I was one of the few people who was still advocating for him to start over Kobe White. And that could be another interesting little wrinkle to see how this plays out, because Kobe has really struggled so far this season. There's really no other way to put it. He's had a couple of good games. He's had a couple of bright moments. But, you know, on the whole, it has been a tough start to the year for Kobe. And does Donovan still keep him in that starting lineup? Does he maybe throw Sato in that starting lineup and see if Kobe can kind of get a little bit of momentum back by bringing him off the bench and letting him, you know, attack his opponent's reserve units to get his offensive confidence up a little bit? We'll see. But Sato clearly has always been a guy who can just come in and knock down some shots and make the right passes, and just, you know, like Garrett Temple, like Otto Porter Jr., just be a calming and sturdy presence for the team on the offensive end.
No doubt. And I think as I think about it more and more, I'm wondering if you know, I saw the quote from Steph Curry the other night when he was talking about James Wiseman's struggles. He's like, dude, get in line. I used to get benched for AC Law, and 95% of people probably are like, who the hell is AC Law? But he's like, this happens to everybody. It happens to the best shooter in our game right now, to Steph Curry, early on in his career. So Kobe should only take it as motivation if he does. And maybe Billy Donovan at some point this season, man, is going to have to do a little bit of tough love and say, you know what, Sato's going to start. You're going to come off the bench, Kobe. You got to work on some areas, and you know that can provide some good motivation if Kobe believes in Donovan and what he's doing. So it's completely different than Jim Boylan sticking a guy on the bench or pulling all five guys just to make a show of things. So I'm encouraged. I'm glad that he's in the right hands too, as far as Kobe goes. But yeah, Satoransky can add a whole ton to this team that we don't currently have right now, like playmaking off the bench.
You got to assume that Hutch, if Donovan feels like he's fully ready to go, jumps ahead of Denzel in the rotation, right?
Yeah, Denzel will be back to sit next to Felicio on the bench, at least for now. But I mean, it might not be long because Steam hasn't been healthy consistently for the entire rebuild. So Denzel will get his chance again, I'm sure, in the next couple of weeks. We want to get to your text messages and your voicemails, all of your questions for mailbag today. Quickly want to tell you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. Tons of NBA games on tonight. There's 10 games on tonight, Matt. There was only two on yesterday, and I was like, what the hell am I doing? I'm like waiting for a 5:30 game, and there's nothing there. And it's like 2 8 o'clock games on the West Coast. And I'm like, all right, I guess this could do, but 10 games tonight, man. So go to betonline.ag. If you want to sign up and start betting on your favorite team. Bulls aren't playing, maybe your second favorite team. You can use the promo code Locked On for 50% welcome bonus. We've got the NFL championship games this weekend, so if you want to bet on those are available, as well as college basketball and all the sports action you need. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
And a quick note on that, Jordan, actually just 9 games now, because Woj just tweeted that Portland and Memphis tonight has been postponed for contact tracing.
Interesting. Oh, man. You know, we haven't had the conversation in full, but I just saw the article the other day come out about Adam Silver and just saying that the NBA is discussing a possible vaccine and an effort to educate communities and be more of a positive message. And, you know, I don't hate that. I don't hate that idea. I just, you know, like I said, regardless if they decide to do that, I feel like there's going to be backlash, man. But again, it all surrounds money. I mean, worst case is that they've got to stop the league. So they would rather go to vaccines, and it'd be tough for Adam Silver said that they were not going to cut the line, and then all of a sudden cut the line, don't you think?
Right. I mean, it's the similar vibe of when the league paid for getting access to all of that testing equipment, and you know, the speed result tests and the just the sheer quantity of tests that would allow them to test their players in the bubble on a daily basis, sometimes twice a day, and saying, you know, is this ethical? Should these tests be going to people that need them? Because in our country, not everybody who wanted a test or needed a test could get one. And now when you're talking about actually the vaccine itself, you know, similar questions arise. Because in one sense, I absolutely believe that if NBA players taking the vaccine and doing so publicly and advocating for them convince any number of people, any non-zero number of people in this country or anywhere else, that taking the vaccine is the safe, smart, scientifically proven thing to do, when there's all this, you know, unfounded skepticism around the efficacy of vaccines, especially in our country, I would be all for it. You know, we've already seen one of the NBA legends, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, get his first dose of the vaccine and do so publicly. And that's great. But like you said, there is also the other side of that coin, which is, does the league come under fire for taking vaccines and administering them to largely a group of young, healthy individuals, peak physical condition athletes, when people who are older, people with underlying health conditions, pre-existing conditions, need those vaccines more than they do? So it's kind of a, you know, it's a tricky situation.
It is tough, and there's no one right answer either, you know, because I do agree that the NBA would do a phenomenal job as being an advocate and a voice for this, but, you know, I think it goes back to Adam Silver, 6 weeks ago, saying that they wouldn't cut the line and that isn't something a part of their plans. I mean, if things change, like, I've been pretty optimistic here in Illinois, man. Like, my brother is an EMT, he's a paramedic and a firefighter, and he just got the first round of his vaccine a little less than a week ago. But just to see, like, it actually being put in place now for the people that actually need it, the essential workers out there, the nurses, the doctors, everybody that's been working throughout this that has been firsthand, I think has been great. So I don't know if that's exactly, if this, the way it's happening here in Illinois, and it being more optimistic, is that happening in the other 49 states? I don't know, and I don't know if Adam Silver can make that call either, but either way, he's going to get backlash whether he decides to do it or decides not to do it. I think the NBA just has to play with the risk, right, and see what's ultimately best for their futures, their players, their fans, and everybody that works for them too. So this can be a positive benefit. There's tons of positive benefits to this too as well. But with that, man, let's take some text messages. And all right, this is from the 404. So they sent us a link to a trade scenario among two teams in the NBA. And of course, you know who it's going to surround. It's going to be the same guy we're going to be talking about for the next 6, 8, 10 weeks leading up to the trade deadline. And that's Zach LaVine. So in this trade scenario, Matt, Zach LaVine is going to the Los Angeles Lakers. In return, the Bulls are receiving Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Talen Horton-Tucker, and three picks, two first round picks, including 2022 LA's first round pick, a 2023 second round pick, and a 2025 first round pick. Immediate thoughts by just hearing all of those pieces.
It's a lot. It's a lot of pieces for Zach, which of course one sticking point and variable there would that there might need to be a third team entering this deal to balance out the number of players leaving and going, because, you know, you're sending Kuzma, KCP, and Talen Horton Tucker, and only you know, getting Zach LaVine. So there might need to be something additional third team kind of situation there. But yes, it's a lot of pieces. Is it fair value for Zach LaVine when you add it all up? I mean, this is one of the more realistic and generous offers I've seen compared to some stuff that's just like insultingly low for Zach. Like some stuff that we were seeing leading up to draft night, leading up to the free agency and trade window before the season started. Because, you know, Kuzma's a good young player. KCP is certainly, I think, underrated in some aspects. And Talen Horton-Tucker, man, he's certainly proving to be an increasingly useful piece on a good NBA roster in LA right now. The one hang up I might have about this is that, yes, you're getting two first round picks and a second round pick, but that 2022 first round pick, I mean, what's that going to be? The 29th pick? The 30th pick? It's like, yes, it's technically a first round pick, but it's going to be all the way back at the end, because we're assuming, looking at things right now, that the Lakers are going to be maybe the top seed in the NBA. In addition to probably being the top seed in the West. So it's not like that's a super valuable first round pick. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the most valuable piece among this is, like you said, Talen Horton-Tucker, and the Bulls worked him out too. Like before, during the draft combine, they brought him in for a private workout. Nothing came of it, but he's been great for the Lakers. I think he just needs playing time, man. And obviously got the Chicago connection too, played at Simeon. KCP's not bad either. I don't know. I can't figure him out yet this season, whether or not we've been convinced by the bubble that all of a sudden he is this great, like, 3-and-D guy that he was supposed to be after he got shit on by Lakers fans for an entire year leading up to the bubble. I don't know what to make of him either. Dude, I don't want Kuzma. Like, give me anybody else but Kuzma. He's so bad, and his contract is terrible. He just re-signed that extension with the Lakers. I think it was like 3 years, $46 million. I mean, and then on the heels of that, you have to think about paying Markkanen, right? What are you going to do with him this summer? If you're making a deal like this for Kuzma, you're either turning around and trying to move Kuzma again, or you're saying bye-bye to Lowry. I don't know. I don't see the fit. I don't like Kyle Kuzma's game. I think Lowry's 10 times better than Kyle Kuzma is, but you tell me. I would rather spend the money on Lowry.
It's crazy. I feel like we had a bunch of Lowry versus Kuzma conversations.
Did rookie
like
season
a year ago, 2 years ago, when so many people were convinced that Kuzma was this rising star. And I'm with you. Like, I, you know, Kuzma's okay, but I've never believed in his potential to be great, or even very good. So, you know, that part of the deal doesn't entice me that much. That's the least enticing part. You know, the 2025 first round pick might turn out to be something valuable if LeBron retires or leaves, if AD leaves, and all of a sudden the Lakers go back to being a team that's rebuilding after this quick little title run. Because that's, you know, that's four seasons from now. So that might be a valuable pick at that point. But I mean, do you want to bank on that actually, you know, coming to fruition? Do you want to risk, you know, hoping that the Lakers are trash in 24-25 because LeBron and AD are gone, to make that a more, you know, valuable part of this trade package? I don't love that idea. And I also don't love the idea of sending Zach to that team. I mean, just personally,
absolutely not, because it would just reload them. Like, as soon, like, as LeBron retires, AD stays, and they sign Zach long term. Sick. Again, they're a top four team for the next 5 years.
And I fucking hate the Lakers. Like, if Zach can go be a part of that team, if he were hypothetically to get traded to the Lakers this season, and he gets to be on a title contending team with LeBron and Anthony Davis, and he can be the third star behind those guys, I think Bulls fans have talked about that being a perfect kind of fit for Zach, where he's not asked to be the guy, and maybe in some cases not even the second guy, but the third guy on a very good team, and that he would blossom in that role. He wouldn't be scoring 27 a game like he is with us, but it would be a great fit for him. Knowing how much we appreciate everything Zach has done and is doing for this team, knowing how much we like Zach as a guy, he deserves that. He deserves to be on a contender in this league, and he deserves the respect that he ain't getting here in Chicago, because the pieces around him stink, and the people that have been running his organization since he got here stink. He deserves something like this, and I hope that Zach gets that opportunity somewhere in his NBA career. But man, it would just sting for me if it happened with LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah, and again, man, like, I don't even know. Like, you can even make the argument to just be patient, not even take an accepted deal like that. I feel like this would be taken maybe like one, maybe a step and a half back in terms of where you already at with the rebuild. I don't know how you pitch that to the fan base after just trading Jimmy Butler not even 4 years ago. And we haven't gotten any better since year one, man. We really haven't. We haven't gotten any better since we dealt Butler, and it's year four now. So, like, trying to convince fans to stick around for a few more years after that, you're talking about 6-7 years into a rebuild before you're actually competitive. Like, you have to have plans in place if you're going to deal Zach. That's the only way I feel. And it could be, like you were saying, it could be a mutual agreement between the Bulls and Zach and say, like, hey, I want to go win somewhere now. So let's see if we can find a trade partner in which you guys get a decent return back. Mutually, we agree on this. Hey, you do your thing, we do our thing, and we go our separate ways. Thanks for the time. Like, there's a scenario where that can happen. And I think Zach is, like you were saying, built up enough credibility in order to go to the new front office and say this. Again, there's another scenario where Zach says, fuck that, I want to stay here. I want to see this through, and I want to stay here and be a part of this build long term. There's also that scenario.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, Zach has said repeatedly that he wants to be the face of this franchise and he wants to win here. So, but, you know, rounding that out, I do think that that's one of the more realistic trade, hypothetical trade packages, respectful trade packages for Zach compared to some of the absolute dog shit that's been thrown out there as far as what some people think is its fair trade value for Zach LaVine. Jordan, we got some more text that we'll try and fly through here on the back end of the show. But first, wanted to tell our listeners about our great friends and sponsors at Built Bar. Maybe you're trying to, you know, keep fighting through that New Year's resolution that involves getting in better shape, maybe dropping a couple pounds or maintaining your weight, maybe cutting a few holiday pounds. Our folks at Built Bar can help you with that. And they've got six new amazing flavors for you to try, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, and apple almond crisp, plus some of the OG flavors that we love, like mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, toffee almond, and salted caramel. These Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. Built Bar's great for the health-conscious sports fans out there. Lose or maintain your weight while indulging in these delicious treats. The Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Take, for example, the peanut butter Built Bar, which comes with 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar and 5 grams of net carbs. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off their next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Jordan, this email from our pal Troy in Australia made me laugh. It said, "Hey guys, just want to get your take on the difference between the coaching style of Billy Donovan and Uncle Fester. Clearly, Egghead had no clue what the fuck he was doing, and Billy is actually, at worst, a competent coach. Does Billy seem to have this team running a basic offense with high ball movement, whereas who knows what Dumbo was running? Thanks, guys. Troy from Australia." I mean, this is a pretty open and shut case to me, right, Jordan? Just the way that Donovan uses his rotation, the way that the Bulls have been moving the ball offensively, and I think we're going to see a little bit of a return to the norm as far as some of the Bulls shooting percentages. I mean, you were highlighting Zach's on a recent episode, but as a whole, this Bulls offense has been humming, and their shot making recently has been ridiculous. You got to credit some of that to Billy Donovan just putting them in sets that give each other open looks. And especially like some of the possessions late in the game against Houston when they're closing out a game that the Rockets were threatening to come back and steal, the ball movement, the passing, the execution on and off the ball. I mean, that right there is the greatest example to me of this team actually having a real coach now.
And see, now more than ever, Matt, I've bought into the idea that players have to buy into what the coach is spewing you, right? I mean, Boylan got off the worst foot possible. I think of ever, like, we'd have to go through the history of the NBA, but man, like, I don't think you could have gotten off to a worse start than Boylan did after rallying the troops and winning the first 3 games, I think, but then needing to have boots to asses and layup line sprints and all of this crap that it resulted in the worst loss in Bulls history at home. So, like, things like that, I think my point being is I think Jim Boylan, he had good ideas. Like, there, he actually, basketball mind-wise, he had good ideas. Otherwise, guys like Greg Popovich wouldn't keep him around, Rudy Tomjanovich, all these guys. But allowing Jim Boylan to be the head coach and the voice and supposed to be the leader, you could clearly see none of the guys on this team bought into it. Very few, I should say. I shouldn't say none of them did. Very few guys bought into what Jim Boylan was selling them. And honestly, frankly, got sick of them. The one guy that benefited from it the most ended up getting a contract and got to go play for a contender. Now, it's the guy that we started talking about earlier in the episode, and that's Shaq Harrison. Like, guys like Shaq Harrison benefited from Jim Boylan because Jim Boylan loved the style that those guys played. I'm hoping that now Billy Donovan's here, man, these players actually have somebody to believe in, and that helps a ton. Even if Billy Donovan isn't a top 5 coach in this league, scheme-wise, I think just being able to buy into the guy that's there every day as your leader is huge for a young team, and they just didn't do that with Jim. That was the biggest difference I see between the two.
And I think the thing that really, you know, hits that point home is the inspired, not just competent, but inspired play we're seeing from the vets on this team, especially two in Otto and Thad, who were here last year, that had no interest in being a veteran leader, working hard for their bench minutes. You know, Otto's had a couple of spot starts when somebody's been out, but primarily being used as bench players who are 10 years the senior of some of these guys in the starting lineup, and actually being okay with that this time around, because they're working for a coach they respect, who doesn't talk down to them, who doesn't throw them under the bus when they lose and this young team was failing to close games last season. A coach who doesn't tell them after the game that he benched them because he thought their play was embarrassing. You can keep rattling off all of the ways in which Jim was not a asset, but something that was detrimental to the development of this team, and the way that the vets played on the court and the way that the vets interacted with the younger guys, propped up the younger guys, helped the younger guys this season compared to not doing so last season is just wildly apparent. It's right in front of your eyes.
I've never done that, you know.
Thanks for the question. I think that was a good one. This is from the 219, Matt. It says, I'm pumped with the way the Bulls have looked early on this season. If Zach keeps this up, he's playing himself into a max contract, and the Bulls have to keep him. My question is, how do they get that other star now that the upcoming free agent class doesn't look nearly as good as it once did? Anyone come to mind, maybe via trade? This is a good question. We kind of discussed this when we were talking about Bradley Beal at the end of one episode last week, Matt. But outside, say you do keep Zach and you sign him to a max contract over the next couple of years, does anybody come to mind right off the bat? If you can't get them in free agency, you would say, yes, we've got enough assets to go out and deal for them. I threw out CJ McCollum as if the Trailblazers just took a nosedive and they needed to decide between him and Dame long term. I said CJ would be the guy to go after. But you have any names that come to mind for you?
Yeah, and you know, now obviously you just hope if you're the Blazers that CJ comes back from that injury without any, you know, lingering effects. They said he's going to be out, what, at least 4 weeks now?
Yeah, and he's been having the best season of his career.
So I was going to say, you hate to see that because he was playing so well. But of course, that might give any potential trade partners with Portland pause, especially if they were looking to do that, you know, prior to the deadline, but McCollum maybe is still nursing that injury or had just come off of it. And we don't really know, you know, what kind of shape he's in. He might all of a sudden be a less enticing, you know, trade piece for teams out there. If Portland did decide to break him and Dame up, to me, the thing about, okay, finding a right star to pair with Zach, if the Bulls decide to keep him long-term, extend this team-friendly contract he's on now with something closer to a max-level deal. And, you know, if the Bulls keep winning games and are at least respectable, moderate, in the playoff hunt in the East, a, you know, borderline 500 team, and he's putting up numbers like this, he will make the all-star team. I truly believe that. And then you're talking about a guy who earns a max contract and the Bulls having to pay that. The 2021 free agent class, you know, dropping like flies, you know, no Giannis, no Paul George, Anthony Davis, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, that makes things more difficult for AK and Eversley to figure out if they were to keep Zach, who to pair with him. To me, I think you would be wise to look for a, you know, a star that complements Zach well in that they excel in things that Zach does not. So either a really gifted playmaker, whether a point guard or, you know, a Kawhi type wing who could be a playmaker, or perhaps, you know, a defensive juggernaut that you can put at the five for the Bulls. And that's not me saying I'm giving up on Wendell officially, but just somebody who could accent LaVine's strengths as a scorer who's working on his facilitating, but still is a work in progress, to put it kindly, on the defensive end. Somebody that could mask Zach's weaknesses by propping up their own strengths. That's who I would kind of look for.
Does me saying this entice you?
Like, I mean, like McCollum and LaVine are, there's a lot of overlap there. You know what I'm saying?
No, totally. I totally get what you're saying. And we're looking for that wing, right? We're still looking for the wing to pair next to Zach. Like, that's ultimately what we're kind of stepping around, even though we know we've had pretty much no success with that. Otto's been decent, but he hasn't been on the floor. So, like, I'm not going to blame him for that. But I'm just saying, like, to find that star, that guy, I don't know, you might have to go to the front court, man, at least to start. What do you think about names like Victor Oladipo or Kemba Walker? Because I think Boston's going to shake things up, and it's clear now, man. Damn, I'm so mad. It's clear now, though. Like, they had their fan base talked about potentially trading Jaylen Brown for something different and trying to shake things up there. There's no way in hell they are doing that now. Him and Jason Tatum are unbelievable, and they're not getting rid of either of those guys. So the next guy on that list to the Celtics would be Kemba Walker. What would you think about that and potentially adding Victor Oladipo in free agency this summer? Does that get you close at all? Is that a direction you want the Bulls to go with, or would you rather just say no, be patient?
Man, and you know, like you were saying about them needing a wing, there's already sprinkles of evidence that in 2 or 3 years, P-Dub could be that guy.
That is true. That is very, very true.
And then you're just wondering, is there enough of an overlap of P-Dub being on a rookie scale contract or a moderate rookie extension paired with a maxed contract Zach LaVine that actually is competitive? If P-Dub can seize that role, if he has development that quickly. You know, and that's a long shot. I'm not saying I'm banking on that. I'm just saying that that possibility is out there. As for Oladipo, I mean, he certainly looked pretty good in the Bulls-Rockets game the other night. Looks like he doesn't have any lingering effects from, you know, the injury that knocked him out for a good portion of last season. Ah, man, I mean, like, does pairing him with Zach LaVine make a lot of sense to me? Not really. I mean, it would be a lesser version of Dame and CJ, basically. And as good and great as Dame and CJ have been as a duo at times, how far has it really gotten Portland? When they are both in their primes and on max contracts, how far has it gotten Portland? And I see Zach and Oladipo potentially as just kind of a lesser version of Dame and CJ.
I mean, I wouldn't hate if John Wall continues to stay healthy and plays at the high level we've seen him at the beginning of this season, man. I mean, I wouldn't hate entertaining that if the Rockets are really just trying to rebuild completely. I think it gets you closer playing Wall and LaVine together, but then you're looking pretty much at what you had in Washington, right? Like it's Beal and Wall 2.0. So there's a couple of names. Like, so we just floated a bunch of names out there for you. There's a lot of different routes the Bulls can go with this. It's just, it is disappointing. And also to combine the fact that now we just had another star end up in the East, James Harden going to the Nets. So now you got to deal with the Bucks. You got to deal with the Nets. Like, those are two powerhouse teams, and we still got to see where Kawhi ends up this summer. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is next to Zach long term, and maybe we don't need to have that answer right now. Maybe it's completely okay, and we just be the team that pounces as soon as a star becomes unhappy with their surroundings. And it could be a younger star too, Matt. It could be like a guy like, where do you think De'Aaron Fox is going to be in 2 years if the Kings continue to play the way that they play year after year and just completely suck ass and go nowhere? Like, that's a guy I think too could also be relatively unhappy in a couple of years.
Yeah, I think you're right. But then again, we're now living in a time when lots of NBA stars, if not most of them, are unhappy or about to be unhappy and looking for a change. So,
that's a good point.
That it is unpredictable and unknowable, but also at the same time, you just kind of assume that that's going to happen with every big name star around the league at some point when they are unhappy with their lot in life, with their current situation. Jordan, here is an interesting text from the 219 about another part of this Bulls core we haven't talked about much today at all, and didn't talk too much about after the Rockets win, because he was an underlying factor, but not a great game. And that's Lauri Markkanen, who is coming off of an 18-7 game against the Rockets, but he was just 5 of 12 from the field, and 11 of his 12 shots came behind the three-point line. Did not like that after his strong game against Dallas. Anyway, here is Matt from Boston. Hey guys, I ran some numbers on Lowry, compared it to the overall team success. The results were about what I expected. The Bulls' record is significantly better overall if Lowry scores 20 or more in a game. So in Lowry's 3 going on 4-year career in the NBA so far, when Lowry scores 20 or more, they are 25-26, so almost 500. When he plays but doesn't reach 20 points, they are 35-89, a winning percentage of just 0.27. Matt wants to hear our thoughts about this. It's a significant difference and really goes to show he needs to be involved in the offense early. He needs to reach the 20-point threshold in order for the team to be successful. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Thanks for checking in, Matt. This is interesting, Jordan. I had never seen these numbers crunched like this as far as Lowry scoring 20 or more or fewer than 20 and how it relates to the Bulls' record over the last 3 years. I mean, that's pretty telling. And not entirely surprising, as Matt said, but God, the number that sticks out to me the most, or I guess the numbers to compare that stick out to me the most, is just the number of games when he does it and the number of games when he doesn't. More so than the win-loss record. Yes, that's important, but 25-26 record when he gets there, so a total of 51 games. Those 51 games compared to a 35-89, so like 120, almost 130 games in which he has not scored 20 points. as a Lowry defender, as a Lowry believer, that is jarring to see.
I would love to break that down even more and find out how often it is the Bulls end up with a win when Lowry gets off to a good start, like shoots, I don't know, 3 for 5, 3 for 6 to start, as opposed to like a 0 for 5 or a 1 for 5 too. Because I firmly believe, Matt, that when Lowry gets off to good starts, it's like the Bulls flow so much better. But we've said that about a handful of the guys on this team. That's an amazing stat though. And I wonder how many times of those losses where Lowry didn't score 20, he didn't play any of the third or the fourth quarter, and the Bulls are just getting their teeth kicked in with guys like Derek Walton Jr. and Cristiano Felicio just playing garbage minutes. Like, I wonder how many of those games you could eliminate from this and see how much stronger the record is. But no doubt, man, Lowry was drafted to be our second scoring option. He was supposed to be the best shooter in that draft class. So I have no doubts that when Lowry has a good scoring night, the Bulls more likely than not are 500. And that goes to show you, even with a shit roster too the last 3 years, man, the Bulls are still competitive when Lowry can actually do what he's best at, and that's score. And again, I will put that on coaching. I'll put that partly on Lowry, put it partly on coaching too, is the fact that you got to keep your guys' confidences high. And I wonder too, like, Lowry's consistency playing too. He's battled a bunch of injuries and not to been able to just consistently worry about his play and not have to miss, you know, 3, 5, 7, 8, 10 games at a time. So I'm hoping for the rest of the season that is the case, where Lowry can just get some run and we can actually see him go out there and be more consistent. But thank you for those stats. Like, it is very, very cool to see that when Lowry performs well, the Bulls have a 50% shot of winning games.
Yeah, and you know, Matt makes a good point about him needing to be involved in the offense early, and like you said as well, what might that look like if you broke down, you know, Lowry's score at halftime of those games when he gets 20 points or more, and the record there. Because I mean, we see little glimpses so far this season. I would say Lowry has had 2 bad games and 1 good game since coming back from his contact tracing quarantine. And it always seems to be like 1 step forward, 2 steps back with Lowry. And we did see Zach LaVine make a great play where he found Lowry for that, you know, clutch dagger 3 late in the win over Houston. We have seen the second unit that is, you know, built with all these smart veteran players like Garrett Temple, like Otto, like Thad, who, when Lowry has been on the floor with them as the starter who plays with that second unit for certain parts of the rotation, we have seen those smart veterans make a point to get Lowry the ball, to get Lowry in the post, to get Lowry the ball when he's got a mismatch on him, and get him some easier looks around the rim and turn him not into just a spot-up shooter like he was last year, but a multifaceted offensive weapon that we all believed he could be, you know, from the first dozen games of his rookie year. And there are signs that that's getting better. There are signs that Zach is doing a better job facilitating and finding his teammate Lowry, who's supposed to be his sidekick, who he needs to get going. There hasn't been enough of it. There is a non-zero amount of evidence compared to last year, when it just looked like this guy was drowning and not getting better, but getting worse. But again, I still feel like it's a step forward and 2 steps back with Lowry. That's got to change if this team and this core is actually going to go anywhere together.
I'm with you, man. And I think that they realize that too. And it's, again, it's only what, 12, 15 games into the season so far, but you actually have a guy that believes in you for the first time in over 3 years. Like, I still believe heavily in that. And I think this team's only going to get more fun and even better to watch as the season continues. And I hope it continues for Lowry, because then it's gonna make the decision for the Bulls very, very easy this summer. Is, no matter what you get offered, man, we're signing you if you're gonna go out there and give us 20 and 12 a night, 20 and 8 a night. Like, that is a real thing, and I think Lowry would sign up to be here long term. So it'd make the decision easy for the Bulls. I gotta read you this last text though, Matt, before we get out of here. This is from the 928. This was shortly after the Bulls collapse against OKC. It just says Denzel should never be on the floor during a possible game winning possession ever again. What the fuck was he doing? Denzel's had a rough week, God. Man. He's had a rough week.
Dude, Denzel, what? I mean, just, You know what? Probably just because I'm in a good mood today for those other reasons we discussed at the top of the show. But I just heard the word Denzel and I just cracked this giant smile, man. He's a clown, but sometimes clowns are good at making you laugh. I just thinking back to that last play, I just cannot help but laugh right now. Oh my God.
The bricks are funnier from the logo, I think, than just blowing that. I was more frustrated. Just the bricks that I watched him throw up against the Rockets. Just what are you?
It's like Philip Seymour Hoffman and Along Came Polly.
God, I just don't understand.
Let it rain.
Yeah. It's so true. Oh,
you know, he just plays. Denzel just kind of plays, man. He just has a feel for it.
I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks so much for listening to us. You can hit us up with your mailbag questions. You want to drop us a text, a voicemail, you can drop us an email. 331-979-1369 is our text and voicemail line. Drop us an email, too. If you don't want to drop us a text or a voicemail, you don't have Twitter, social media, you can go long form. Email LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful night. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Contavious Caldwell Pope.
You were high on.
Oh, no!
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.